This is CliffCentral.com.
He was gone, but only for a few hours. And now, he is back.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Get ready for a brand new episode.
Are you ready?
The O'Neill Africa Experience. Let's go.
It's that time of the day. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the O'Neill Africa Experience.
The O'Neill Africa Experience, the home of African talent.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience.
This is CliffCentral.com.
This brand new music of Black Coffee. I mean, come on, man.
What a time to be alive.
Come on now.
Man, this is so epic, right? What a time to be an African, to be a
South
African.
This is what quality sounds like.
It's amazing. David Guetta, Black Coffee. That's amazing.
Can I tell you how I found out about this song?
Yeah.
So, I was listening to radio and the song was playing. The minute I listened, it was smack in the middle.
Yeah.
And I was taken by this entire song. I'm listening to it. It's going. I'm like, wow. It's an amazing song until the DJ mentioned that it's a Black Coffee song. And I knew that Black Coffee had been talking about it. He's about to drop a brand new song.
Yeah.
And I had no idea it would sound anything like this.
That's amazing.
Truly remarkable. It's a brand new one from Black Coffee. It's called Drive. Before this one, we played you something from Malik Berry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something you're excited about it as well.
Hey, I love Malik Berry and I love Africans collaborating and making bigger moves, you know. He's one guy who's been making serious moves in the UK.
Yeah.
The song that we listened to features a guy called Chipmunk.
Yeah, Chipmunk.
But now he's known as Chip.
Really?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
I think about a year ago. Okay. You grow older, it's like Little Bow Wow becomes now Bow Wow.
Wow.
Chipmunk now becomes Chip.
So that doesn't even make any sense.
Seriously.
Especially if you are growing up, you don't want to call yourself Chimp. Chip.
Listen, like, no comment.
Why would you move from Chipmunk to... that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It's like the curious case of Chipmunk.
Yeah,
ladies
man.
And gentlemen, it's yet another exciting Friday afternoon. Listen, let me tell you why today's Friday is even more exciting than any other Friday we've done.
Yeah.
We've got gospel royalty in the building.
Oh, yeah.
The minute Jackie, our producer, told us that, listen, she has confirmed that she'll be coming, I knew that, one, I could not get sick today. It doesn't matter what I have. I could have leprosy. I can't. I could have Ebola. I cannot get sick. Not today. So I don't know about you. You walked in here. You said you had some kind of virus as well.
So I was fine the entire morning. I went to work. I was at the office driving here.
Yeah.
I get in the car and then suddenly I just got this amazing hay fever.
Yeah, it's the devil.
And literally I was like,
it's the devil.
I received my healing.
It's like, the devil.
It's not gonna go down like that.
listen, among the many things that make her great, over 35 albums.
Yes.
Guys, how is that possible? How do you sit there and say, I've got 35 albums, and yet you continue to remain humble? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me put this into perspective.
Yeah.
She, with everything else that she's done,
yeah,
she's got 35 albums.
36.
Yeah. And 36, in fact.
Yes. With this new one.
Yes.
And yeah, she's sitting in front of us right now. She's about to speak to us. Do you realize how surreal this is? This yeah is a huge moment. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to welcome Dr. Rebecca Malope.
Amen, 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 amen.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
And look, she doesn't look a day over 20.
Indeed.
What do you eat?
No, I'm 50 years old now. I just celebrated my 50th birthday.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank
50.
You. Yes.
How do you look this good at 50? Give us the secret.
Okay. I slowed down on my pap.
Ah,
and then I
you're
said,
me.
Let me look 20 years younger. And try to keep cool. Just to keep good.
So you slow down on the pap. So meaning
it
you are watching what you eat.
It was making me a bit fatter.
Okay.
And then I could, when you see me, you know, you would see that, she's a got grapes now. But then I'm grateful that I'm a grandmother of three, and then I'm really proud.
Look, it's not easy to maintain a healthy diet. Do your family, do they contribute your kids? Do they make sure that you eat well as well?
My kids don't eat meat. They don't eat a lot. They are vegetarians.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes I follow and say, let me look good as them.
And then other days you struggle. It's like.
Other days I do, really, because I always miss my pap and my mkhodu and my utwana and all of that.
Listen, we have an incredible story. I don't even think an hour is enough. We have to get into it.
Yes.
Let's just go back all the way back to the beginning. And look, having done 36 albums,
yes,
does the story get tiring having to tell your story?
Because you know when you do an interview, you're always going to say the same things all over again and again and again.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. I don't get tired because there are people who want to know where did it all start?
Yeah.
Where do I come from? And how did I manage to be where I am? So it is quite an exciting thing also to tell about it, because some other people, they're learning from that. And
Yeah. Your big break came as a result of a talent search.
Yes.
Show Road to Fame at the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And fast forward decades later, you are also a part or you have been involved with Idols as well.
Yes.
So how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel super special. You know, it's a blessing. You know, if big people, I mean, Idols is quite a very big platform.
Yeah,
and if they could sit down and say, let's invite Dr. Rebecca as our guest judge, it's quite big. It's really exciting. I was really grateful to be part of that.
I was very happy for that. And I'll tell you why I was happy. I was happy because, and this is not taking anything away from other judges and everything, but I think your story is so incredible, and you've earned your stripes in the business.
Yes.
You've seen every single genre.
Yes.
You know, in South Africa, what happens is there's a season for everything. You have a season where Kwaito is like
big,
everywhere. Yes. It's charting. You have where dance music is dominating. Mm. You have been consistent throughout. Yes, I know when you started, you wanted to be a pop star.
No, it's not me. Actually, it's the record label. You know,
really?
Yeah.
So you didn't want to do that?
We were doing gospel.
Okay.
From the beginning, before we won the Show Road to Fame, we had a gospel album that we wanted to release.
Yes.
But because of the Show Road to Fame, we had to stop the album so that I can win the Show Road to Fame. Then, because you can't win the competition when you have an album. So we had to stop the album. So, but we used to perform our gospel songs like Stembeleguwe, when we perform in nightclubs, and people would love our gospel stuff. We used to perform them in nightclubs.
You know, it's funny, nowadays they do that actually.
Yeah.
Closing times, most places now, they play gospel music now.
Yes.
So you see, history always repeats itself.
Yeah, we started that in those nightclubs, and then people would love our gospel stuff. And then when I won the Shiloh to Fame and had the recording contract, they said, nah, this stuff will never work. You've got to do bubblegum music, Kwaito, and all of that, because it was big then. There were Meshi Pakelas and the Brand of Fuzzy, the Yuvo Chaka Chakas, you know, the Konrizi Kubus, all, you know, and then we had to go and do the Majime and Bangenzi Pari, you know, all of that. But it worked because our first album went gold, and then, second album, a platinum.
No, in fact, most of your albums have gone platinum.
Stages, yes.
This is 1984 when you broke onto the scene.
It's 1985.
84, 85.
Yes.
Okay. Now, look, the motivation couldn't have been that high for a young woman wanting to break into music. What inspired you at the time?
You know, I remember before I came to Johannesburg, Brenda Fassie and Papa and Blondie came to Nelspruit to perform, and Brenda Fassie had this big hit, Weekend Special.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know how did I got into the hall, but I sneaked in, and then because I love Brenda Fassie, and then you know these things. This thing of ours when we say to the audience, if you know my songs, come on stage, I'll give you a prize.
Yes.
Then she said, anyone who knows Weekend Special, come on stage, I'll give you a 10 rand. And 10 rand was big that time.
Yeah, of course.
And then I ran to that stage, and then I sang with Weekend Special, and Brenda Fassie gave me a 10 rand. And since then, I never looked back. Said, if Brenda says yes, why not?
But here's the thing. Popular music at the time was what was known as disco.
Yes.
At the time. And you were a fan of Brenda.
Yes.
You went to see this concert and they were performing predominantly disco.
Yes.
In your heart of hearts, you knew you wanted to do gospel.
Because I'm from a gospel family.
Okay.
At that time, because I was young, I didn't really mind. I just loved the music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just loved music. Yeah.
In studio right now, we're hanging out with the legend herself. We've got Dr. Rebecca Malope in studio, and we are talking about everything that led up to the artist that she is today. Look, it couldn't have been easy. There was also the period from the 90s to the point where South Africa gained its... Well, South Africans were able to vote for the first time.
Yes, yes.
What role did you play as a gospel artist at the time? Look, I'll tell you why I'm asking you this. We've had the opportunity to sit down with people like PJ Powers in studio, and they've talked about their story.
Yes.
But we've never really had a gospel story.
Yes.
Through such a turbulent time in South Africa and in Africa at large.
Yes.
What was your role as a gospel leading artist at the time?
We were singing gospel, but our gospel was a bit political, because our gospel brought hope to a lot of people. A lot of people had that hope that one day things will change, like Stembeleguwe. We would sing about Abubab Mandela and all the politicians, with that making sure, though, that nobody will really notice our political way of saying things, but put it in a gospel way. So our music played a very big role in an apartheid time.
Is there anything that you remember? Stembeleguwe,
for instance, was a political song.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but nobody would notice until you tell them. Then they start listening. Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
You know, but Buyani was a political song. We did a lot of political songs.
How did you manage to assemble a band and keep a band together at such a difficult time? Financially, how were you able to survive at the time?
We would perform in nightclubs. We would get gigs, and then that time, you know, if you had money, you would pay them 50 rands, and you know, it was a lot of money. But nobody made money. I didn't make money either, because most of the shows, it was promotion, promotion, promotion. But we will pay those, the band, maybe Putsizo Zako will get gigs at the nightclubs, then we go there, then we could get those 50 rands and, you know, and yeah. And then sometimes you will help other artists as well, like the Pumi Madunas from Cheek to Cheek,
yes.
And the Splash, you know, Patricia.
Do you even know these, Mpo? Any of what she's talking about?
Definitely. Listen, I grew up in SA.
I'm not even involved in the band.
I'm an 80s child. You know? Yes. So this for me, it's like getting candy. My mom is going to be so proud when I tell her. You know, I mean, we grew up in the 80s. I actually took part in a show Road to Fame.
Yeah.
Not as a singer. I was the keyboardist for my friend.
Okay.
But you didn't even know this.
I didn't know.
Back in 1991. Yeah, we were.
Really?
Yeah. We asked our parents. I asked my parents. I was like, "Can we drive to East London?
Yeah.
Can we take a taxi to East London?" Shell Road Fame was there at the Orient Theatre.
Yeah,
and we did the audition.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, but you know, it was a great time.
It was an amazing time.
It was. And Ringo Madlingos used to be a backing singer at that time.
Oh, yeah. Was he?
No, when I won the Shell Road Fame, she was there, part of the backing singers that backed me up.
You know, that's the other thing. We don't realize that a lot of people that we see today who are in the forefront,
they've actually been at the back. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is truly remarkable. You see, this is why I enjoy having somebody like you, because you're like an encyclopedia of just the business. This business that we more often than not take for granted at times, and we don't realize how rich the story is, just going back.
Yes.
Now, you're a gospel singer and a highly recognized one, but I think in more ways than one, the leading gospel voice in the continent.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
It must have taken a tremendous amount of effort to carve out your niche and your sound.
Yes.
Your sound. Because at some point, I remember there was a time when it felt like there were a lot of young, upcoming gospel artists. Yeah. And they sounded so much like you.
Yeah.
Because everybody, most of them in the industry today, they were looking up to me.
Yes.
You know, who is this Rebecca, I want to sound like her.
Yeah.
And it was a great honor, because if you see so many talented musicians want to change their tone of voices and sound exactly like that means there's something good you're doing.
Yeah.
So most of them, about, there was a time whereby I also felt like 90% of singers, they sound like me.
Yeah.
So, but it was good. It was good.
I mean, there's another voice that comes to mind was Lundi.
Lundi Yamahaya. Yeah.
When Lundi came out, he was obviously huge as well. And there were a lot of comparisons being drawn. So this idea of comparing artists is not just starting today. It has always been there.
And it's funny that I trained Lundi.
Really?
Yes, I did. I did.
Talk to me about that. How do you... you see, that speaks to your character as well. The fact that you can bring somebody else in into your domain and then train that person.
He
you
was
were
a
very
fan.
Selfless
he
with the talent.
He sounded a bit like me. So, but we will rehearse together and then train him, give him a song, lead this song, write some few songs for him as well. So it was a great time. I did train him until he went to do his own album as well and be in another record label.
Alright, guys, we're coming back. Stand by. We still are in studio with Dr. Rebecca Malope.
This is CliffCentral.com.
I think possibly one of the most recognizable gospel songs in the continent.
That is for sure.
Throughout.
That is for sure.
You can't possibly listen to this and think it's someone else.
Yes.
And the thing about it is so timeless. Now, I can remember myself as a teenager walking through the streets of King Williamstown and going there now, whenever I visit my mom, it's still playing. It's timeless.
And I've seen a white choir in Germany sing the very same song. And I was like, it was on YouTube. They said, did you see this? I said, I was like, oh my God, that's great. That's in Germany. So I don't know how many white choirs are doing the same song.
That's amazing. Just off air, you were telling us how you've inspired so many artists that even replicas of you around the continent. There's so many Rebeccas who are doing gospel.
Yes.
So they basically dress like you. They behave.
They do the haircut. Like they do all of that. They're just like Rebecca Maloke.
Yeah, I was actually disappointed when you walked in here and the haircut was not there.
No, okay. Don't worry. My hair is big. So, you know, I was doing gospel time. We're doing our 16th season of gospel time.
Yes.
So I said to myself, you know, let me just have a different look this time and just try to look a bit younger and dress younger and then just bring in that wow factor.
No, you have. You look so remarkable.
So they must watch the 16th season. They'll see a young girl groups.
We love what you do. Now, look, it hasn't always been easy. It hasn't been all rosy in the process. You've, I think, been the type of artist, the leading gospel artist that you are. You've also seen some sad moments throughout your career as well, where you've lost even colleagues as well.
Yes.
I mean, I was just, when I was preparing for this discussion, I remember thinking to myself how there was a point recently where it was just one gospel after another that was just passing on. You were close with Vuyo, I remember. And I think at some point he wrote you a song, or you wrote a song together.
We used to write songs like Umoya Wam. Umoya Wam, it's a song that we composed with Vuyo. He wrote the chorus, came with the verse. So that's Moya Wam. So, but there's this particular song that says, let me come. Vuyo was very sick then in the hospital. So he wrote these lyrics, you know, in a piece of paper.
While he was in his hospital bed.
Yes. And then he said to me, you know, he used to call me Malope. So, Malope, if anything happens to me, please sing this song.
Wow.
And there is no melody. Then I had to go back to Sizwe Zako. Then we had to find a way to put the song together and give it a melody. And then that's what I did after he passed on. Yes.
Sure. Okay. So talk to us about the process. Like, so when you in the studio with Obawu Sizwe Zako, you know, how is that chemistry? How do you guys initiate writing?
We connect like I've never worked. You know, we know each other. He knows if I touch this, Rebecca will be able to handle this one. So it's a very good chemistry. I think it was just a me and Butsis. It was just a match made in heaven, I could say that, when it comes to our gospel, our rhythm. He came with the sound, the traditional sound of gospel.
Yeah.
He wrote most of these gospel songs that I sing, and that is why the chemistry is so strong.
So would you say you are more of a, are you strong in melody, or is it mostly lyrical for you?
I learned how to write a song, to create a melody and write the lyrics through Sizwe Zako, you know, and I do both. Yeah.
Here's something that I want us to just look at quickly.
Hallelujah!
We were talking about the song just minutes ago.
Yes.
So basically, he was in his hospital bed, and he wrote this, the lyrics.
Yes.
And you had to bring it to life.
I had to bring it to life. We had to sit down, Sizwe Zako, and Sizwe created the melody. Then we had to look at this long page of words that of this message that Vuyo has wrote. It was like a prayer. He was praying. Then we had to edit it and just put it right into a song.
Yes.
So we had to sing this prayer for him. It was his personal prayer. Yes.
Yes. It's Let Me Come to You.
Yes.
All right.
My God, it goes like this. Jesus.
Jesus, my comforter, the pain now I feel now is nothing compared to the pain you felt on the cross.
Just caught me off guard there.
Just for me. Just for me. Let alone give me strength. Sometimes I feel like giving up. But I'm always reminded.
Sean Ellen. Our keyboard. Alrighty. Oh, you needed a practice.
By your stripes. By your stripes. I'm healed. Power, not just only power, resurrection power. I will rise up from this bed and leave now behind. Yeshua, the Holy One. Your name is Jesus, Son of the Living God. The name is Jehovah. Oh, let me come. Let me come. Do you?
Chit-talk!
I can't even put it into words, because this is, it's such a moment to have a friend and
yes.
You can tell the end is near. And you have to deal with the reality, and you are also given this responsibility.
Yes.
To perform this song.
Yes.
The emotion, and the emotion you exhibit on this song is just, it's remarkable, which is something that you're known for as well. When you leave everything on the floor.
I just thought of what was going through his mind when he was writing this prayer, because to me it was a prayer. He was talking to God. He had a personal conversation with God. I thought of what was going through his mind. How was he feeling? So I had to put myself in his shoes in order for me to be able to sing this song.
It's such a powerful thing to be able to live through. This is one of those songs you can't listen to it and remain the same.
Yeah,
no, definitely can't.
I mean, I was watching even the performance on YouTube. It's truly remarkable. It really sounds like it came from an honest place every time you sing.
Yeah.
And isn't it ironic how she's able to go there? We could be talking to her, she's laughing.
Yeah.
And then the minute you say, let's go.
I think it's that thing of, you know, nobody can remove you from your personal testimony. You know, once you've lived through something, something's been revealed to you, it's something that you cannot fake. You definitely, you're transported in that place. And watching you perform it's a great thing to see.
Amen. Yeah.
No. It really alters one's life. Just watching the performance, you have such grace and such
an anointing.
And it
was not a performance. We were like jamming around. And our chords are wrong. And but I like him. I like him. He's doing great.
So fast forward a couple of years ago, somebody else you mentored, Lundi, passes on as well.
Yes, shame. You know, it was such a tragedy. But then, what can we say? It's life. That's where we're all going. He was still very young. He was very talented. He still had a very long way to go. It's so unfortunate, you know, that he had to pass.
Did you have a close relation towards the end?
Yeah, I remember he used to call me mommy. Ndifuna ukuvakashela mommy. Isn't as suffer and things are different now. Things are not the same, you know, and because of not knowing actually where he stays, because he will stay here and now he's not there, he stays there, now he's not there, and lack of communication with whoever he's surrounded with, and the type of people, you know, sometimes you find yourself not really wanna get close there because of maybe the environment is not the right. So it was so unfortunate that he just passed on. But what can I say? May his soul rest in peace.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Look, I think, you know, you brought up something important there. There has to be a secret to why you've had this staying power. I mean, you're still standing in front of us. For a young person who's listening right now and they're thinking to themselves, man, I've just gotten into the business, or I want to get into the business. But what would it take? What did it take for you? Is it discipline? It's obviously commitment as well.
You know, when we get into the industry, when you start making it and you start to be on TV, you appear on TV, your music is on the radio, and then you're becoming this star, you're going to have a lot of people around you who will always want to be friends. Some are good, some are not good. Some, they just want to bring you down with them. Some, very few of them will be there to help you grow and be where you're supposed to be. So you need to be careful around those people. You know, you can stumble and fall and pick yourself up and get rid of these bad people around you and focus in what you are there and in what God wants you to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in the thing of writing a song, you know, with worship music, with inspirational music, what is your take on writing a song about commentary or writing a song based on scripture, word for word?
To me, there's no really nothing much, no difference at all. It depends on whatever, whether it's a scripture, it will help somebody somewhere. Sometimes it can be your own words that will help somebody somewhere. As long as there's no vulgar words there, and it's somebody that really can build somebody and guide them to the right direction, I don't have a problem at all.
Yeah, that's amazing. Right, we really, really appreciate you.
Amen.
And your gift.
You've been working on a brand new. You've got a new album.
Yeah. Yes.
And we've got. Is it I'm Somewhere Here?
Yes.
Yeah, she's gonna perform that for us.
Okay, let me remember. Okay.
Yeah, everybody forgets new songs, right?
But you know what? It's a new album, guys.
We understand.
And, I perform it somewhere there and there. Let me see if I can still remember it here in studio. I love this one. I just wrote this one here. Okay. There should be a chorus coming now. I am somewhere. Oh, yes. I am somewhere with my Lord. I am somewhere. I am somewhere. I am somewhere with my Lord. I am somewhere.
Listen, it's a new song. We understand. It happens.
But it's there. They can download it and get all the lyrics there. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. What a joy we have. We're having in studio.
Oh, my God. No, somebody will write and say, Mom, Rebecca forgot her lyrics.
No, we dare them. We dare them to actually do that.
But it's fun when they like,
they
you know, teasing
this.
Me.
There is this as well.
Oh, fix me, Jesus.
Talk to us about fix me, Jesus. What's happening here?
I was like at home, and then, you know, the passing of my family. Naked. You know, most of the time they will come back and say, you know, sometimes you will still go through the pain of not having anybody. You know, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, and then I was like, sometimes you feel alone. Sometimes you feel like there is nobody, you know, and then, and that pain comes back. Then I felt like, I remember some people used to say to me, did you go for counseling or something? Because there were so many things that happened in my life, you know, and then I heard somebody said, if you start writing whatever is troubling you down, that's the beginning of your healing process. And then I remember that I wrote my story in each and every notebook that I had. You know, I'll write my story and then buy another one. I write my story just to get that healing that I'm searching for.
Yeah.
And then one day I was sitting down and I'm playing my piano, and then this song came up, and then I said, just saying, fix me, Jesus, just fix me. Then it came. Then I met Tammy Ngubeni at the SABC recording this song, not knowing what else am I going to say, because the only word that came into my mind was fix me, Jesus.
Yeah.
Then I met Tammy. I said, I want you to come and listen to one of my songs. I want you to do something with this song.
Yeah.
Then he came to the studio, and then he wrote the speech, you know, and then it came together, and it was like she knew what I was going through.
You know what I want us to do with this song? I want you to just meditate on the words fix me, Jesus. Are we able to just carry the song? The band is going to play this live, and you're just going to lose yourself. So the
Hallelujah.
Moment
Hallelujah.
Lose yourself to the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Just go with it.
Fix me, Jesus. Fix me. All right. Okay, no, it won't go right. If it has to go that way. Let me play it. Can I come and play?
Oh perfect.
Hallelujah.
See, this is what happens when you have real musicians in studio. All right. She's such a perfectionist as well.
You enjoyed it. Naked, I stand.
She's commanding the entire studio.
It feels like we're in a recording studio right now.
Do you have it, boss? You got it?
Yeah. Yes. Okay, let's try that.
Alright, so that. Cool. We're gonna try this again.
Okay, try. No, we're teaching each other this song. Fix me, Jesus, fix me. Yes. Hey, yeah. Da 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 da. Oh Jesus, da da, yeah, get him, da da da. Fix me, Jesus, fix me. Oh, don't change it, fix. All right, our jam. Can you play? Yeah. No, we in studio, we having fun, guys.
This is what we do.
Fix Jesus, fix me. Yeah, yeah, fix. Stop it.
This is what we're going to do. Why don't you come sit here? I'm going to plug your microphone in.
Yes.
And then we're going to make this. This is what we do here. Okay, we make it happen.
Let me try.
We make it
play
happen.
Play it my way, guys.
She's such a perfectionist. Let's sort this out real quick.
Jesus. Naked I stand before you. Can I play it my... Don't play that one. Let me play this one.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Fix me, Jesus, fix me. Jesus. I'm not a good player.
This is what true artistry is. She's commanding the entire studio. She's moving from one corner to the next. If you're not watching this on my IG live, you're missing out. She's dominating the whole place.
My cotton not 100% help. Are you getting there? Fix me, Jesus. Fix me. Fix me, Jesus. Fix me. Something like that. But you know, on this song, it's quite not so easy to jam it around. It needs you to really get to the right playing,
yes,
and get, yes, into the song so that you can be able to express yourself better. So it's quite a bit difficult to...
No. It's completely understandable. We understand. So talk to us about the new album. What is the name of the album?
The name of the album is Lord, You Are Good. And... Okay. It has, I recorded so many songs in my studio, and then I released only 3 songs just for downloads, because I believe that downloads are working better than CDs today.
Yes.
Yes, so I'll be releasing just once in a while, throw in another one like,
yeah,
that. Another one like that, because the music, I always have something to record.
Yes.
I made it so easy for me that I have my own professional studio in at home so that I can do my music there. And then just bring in an engineer and then record, call in singers that let's do this, and it becomes better. So it's easier.
Before we leave, let's quickly talk about family. You've got three kids.
Yes, yes.
What do they think of mommy? I mean, they've all their lives. I imagine they've seen you on stage, on TV. You've always been out there.
Yeah, they knew that mommy is a singer.
Yeah.
You know, my sister, my eldest sister passed away in 96. So she left the three kids with me. So I raised them. So, but the youngest one always thought I was her biological mother because we look so much alike.
Mm.
You know, because I look like my sister. So I remember one day when she was about 8-9 years old, and when I walk with him, maybe going to the shops, and people say, "Yeah, no, we understand that one, but this one, Rebecca." Rebecca, this is her kid. And the child will hear that and say, "But why is she saying she's my aunt?" And says, "No, I'm not your aunt, I'm your mother. And they're my kids. I'm amazing. Not their aunt, they are my kids." So they used to me and then they love me. My other daughter, Tando, is my manager. And then, yes, she's
keeping
my
it in the family.
Yeah, I accept you. Gotta take care of the business.
Listen, if there's one thing you wish today's young people or young artists would know, what is it?
I would wish them to really study, go to school and study and know things or two about the industry as well.
Mm.
So that when you go, when you sign this contract, you know exactly what you're signing for, and you know what is good for you, what's bad for you, because a lot of artists they die poor because of the wrong contracts that they signed, because of not understanding what they're signing for.
Mm.
Some they died before not knowing what's happening with their monies. So I would love them to really study and take music, the music industry, seriously. It's business. It is a very serious business. They must start taking it very seriously.
When you're not listening to your own music and obviously playing with the kids, what do you listen to? Somebody else that is not you.
I listen to Olida Adams.
Mm.
I don't listen to Anita Baker, Gladys Knight.
Nice.
You know, I listen to Shelley Caesar, you know. I listen to a lot of artists.
Okay, so I imagine you listen to a lot of soul.
Cheryl Pepsi. Who's this jazz singer that I am? Rachel Farrell. You know.
Any young South African artist that you listen to?
I listen to Kelly Kumalo. You know, I just love. She's so amazing. And I listen to Sipogazi. She's amazing. And I listen to a lot of youngsters. Some I don't know the real names, but I love the music.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sadly, we've come to the end of this.
Wow.
Everything will be available as a podcast at least 30 minutes from now. Dr. Rebecca Malope, thank you very much. It's been such an honor.
Thank you so much for inviting me. We had a nice jam.
Thank you. Thank you for being such a good sport.
Thank you so much
for being a good sport. Before we get out of here, let me just quickly remind you. Now, what does it mean to be a man in today's world? There's a lot of confusion about this and a lot of anger directed at men. This is a conversation about masculinity everyone needs to hear. In this raw and authentic series of 6 podcasts, Craig Wickinson and Khalil Osiris start from the premise that true masculinity is a great gift to the world, equally relevant to men and women. It provides profound insights into why men behave the way they do. It unpacks the 3 core desires at the heart of every man, the question every boy needs answered on his journey to manhood. The 4 big lies about masculinity, what wounds the masculine heart, and the one thing every man wants from women more than sex. Man to Man Talks is brought to you by the Carlin Black Label. Drink responsibly, not for sale to persons under the age of 18. Available now on the cliffcentral.com website. Ladies and gentlemen, We are out of here. Once again, thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you for inviting me.
My co-pilot, Mpo, thank you very much for doing this with us.
Thank you so much, Mpo. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ben.
You've been good. Thank you, Ben.
Please make sure you download the podcast. It will be available 30 minutes from now. We are out of here. Jackie, thank you for putting the show together.
It began in Africa.
The O'Neill Africa Experience. The heartbeat of the diaspora.
You ready? Come on. 1, 2, 3. Break it. It's that time of the day. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. The O'Neill Africa Experience.
The O'Neill Africa Experience.
This is CliffCentral.com.